offering my loving pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan. Revered elders, brothers and sisters, my heartfelt greetings to all of you from Prashanthalalyam, to all the listeners of Radio Sai. The theme for today's contemplation is a message of Bhagwan which is very familiar to all of us, but yet so profound that it is worth deeply contemplating upon so that we can imbibe it and integrate it with our day-to-day life. And the message that I thought I will share some thoughts on is Bhagwan's statement, love all, serve all. Many a time he reminded us the best way to love God is to love all, serve all. So this will be the theme for our contemplation for the next few minutes. Let me begin with the very first word, love. Decades ago, describing himself, Bhagwan said, Satya is my prachar. Truth is what I preach. Dharma is my achar. Righteousness is what I do. Shanti is my swabhava. Peace is my very nature. And prema is my swarupa. Love is my form. 1974, Krishna Janmashtami, Bhagwan wrote a letter to the students at Vrindavan, in which he made this statement. Many a time man wonders, why did God create this whole universe? Bhagwan answers this question through that letter in this statement. Bhagwan said, I separated myself from myself so that I may love myself. The basis of the entire cosmos is love. This is what is underlined even in the Vedas. Ekoham Bahusyam. In the beginning, there was only the One. In that One, there arose the desire to become many. And that is how this creation came to be. In another discourse, Bhagwan said, when the creation started, as in science we say, the Big Bang took place, the first quality that emerged was love. And that love is what pervades the whole universe. One day, Swami was sitting in the jhula in his residence at Vrindavan, and he was interacting with the students. And during the discussion, he started speaking about the creation. He said, this creation is made up of the five elements, the panchabhutas. And these five elements have got five characteristics: Shabda, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, all the five characteristics are there in the first element, which is earth. And earth is solid, earth is relatively immobile. The most characteristic feature of earth element is smell. The moment it rains, you can smell the air, how the whole atmosphere has changed. That is the unique characteristic of earth. When this characteristic is dropped and only four qualities remain, then we come to the second element, and that is water. It has got form, it has got taste, it has got touch, it has got sound. And water is far more mobile than earth. It is not so stable, it flows. The characteristic feature of water, Bhagwan explained, is rasa, taste. Drop this quality and now only three qualities remain, and that is the element of Agni, fire. And you know, fire is far more pervasive than water. It can go in all directions. It can go up, it can go side, down. When fire element loses its characteristic of form, then only two qualities remain, and that is the element of Vayu, air. It has got sound, and it has also got touch, sparsha. When the characteristic feature of Vayu, which is sparsha, is dropped, now only one element remains, one characteristic remains, and that is sound. And that is the unique feature of ether or space. And when Swami came to this point, he snapped his fingers like that and he said, see, you can't see space, but by snapping your fingers and hearing the sound, you recognize that space is there all around you. And this is space which occupies every inch of this whole universe. And then came Swami's profound statement. He said, love transcends all these qualities, and therefore it is all pervasive. See how by dropping all these qualities, the elements became more and more pervasive in the universe. And finally Swami said, love transcends all these qualities, and that is why it is the most pervasive quality in the whole cosmos and beyond. Dr. Frank Baranowski, an ardent devotee of Bhagwan, who recognized Bhagwan with his own eyes, naked eyes, seeing Bhagwan's aura, which was pink in color and going out, stretching out to wherever the vision could reach, he described Bhagwan as love walking on two feet. This was his expression in exclamation on seeing Bhagwan's aura of love. Bhagwan himself has mentioned that the true sign of divine might, the true power of God, is actually prema. I can transform the earth into sky and the sky into earth, but that is not the real sign of divinity. The real sign is prema. And when the avatar walks on earth, man gets an opportunity to see love in its purest, pristine form. Having said that, let us come to what is love. In a conversation with the faculty in the university, Swami said, love, and when he is talking of love here, it is the purest form of love. He said, love has got three facets. It's like a triangle. A triangle has got three angles. So at the top of the triangle is this characteristic of selflessness. The left hand angle is fearlessness, and the right hand angle is changelessness. So selfless, fearless, and changeless. These are the characteristics of divine love, pure love. And that is what we observed in Bhagwan. Day in and day out, in his interactions with people, with students, with devotees, with strangers, with people in position who came to him, as well as people of the common rung of society, with everybody, one thing which was very, very characteristic of his interaction was this pure, selfless love. I remember when I was in my first year of teaching career, I had a student who was very indifferent to academics. And you're just starting your teaching career, you can imagine the kind of aspirations you have to make a difference in the lives of your students. But this particular student was totally different to academics. And one thought that now that he is completing his undergraduate, it would be nice that he leaves the university and finds some other avenue where he can express himself to his heart's content if studies was not his cup of tea. So towards the end of his undergraduation, one day Swami picked up a conversation with him and said, what would you like to do? And he said, Swami, I will do this particular course for my master's. And Bhagwan said, what difference it makes whether you do this course or that course? He said, no, Swami, if I have to be in the university, I'll do only this course. And Swami said, okay, do whatever you like. And that's how he lands up in the university back for his post-graduation. And I was left wondering, what is Swami's mystery? Till one day, the warden shared this with me. I was, as I said, a young teacher, first time taking to teaching, and this is what the warden shared, a private conversation that he had with Bhagwan. Swami shared with him that this student's time is so bad that if he were to leave the university and go out anywhere, he was sure to die in some accident. Now that is not something which Swami could tell him or wanted to tell him. But because of that desire to protect him, to save him, Swami, in spite of knowing fully well that he is not very keen on studies, allowed him to do his post-graduation. And I was left wondering at the pure, unconditional love, selfless love of Bhagwan, which it is impossible for human beings to fathom. He never bothered how the world will think of his relationship with that student. He never bothered how his teachers will feel if the student is allowed to continue for his master's. His sole focus is what was best in the interest of that individual. And if in his divine vision he felt that it is best that he stays here at his lotus feet in the university, continues with his education, that mattered everything to him. That is selfless love. You don't care what the world thinks of it, as long as it is in the best interest of this soul. Swami was willing to do anything and everything for him. So that selflessness was something which we saw in Bhagwan's personality day in and day out. In small interactions, in massive projects that he undertook, that selfless love was something which was very, very visible to anybody who came into his orbit. I remember the water project, the Sri Satya Sai water project that Bhagwan took up in the Anandpur district of Andhra Pradesh state in India. And Swami was deeply moved by the plight of the villagers for the paucity of drinking water in this region. And it was his desire to do something about it, because of which he took it up as a personal mission. And it's not as if, many times people think, I don't have any money, how I can help anybody. But let us also realize that for all the work that Bhagwan did, for example, when he took up the water project, he didn't have the money. It was not that he was having loads and loads of money in the bank account of the trust that inspired him to think of a water project. He felt, these are people who need, and I must do something about it. And he spent, after the project was finally handed over to the government of Andhra Pradesh, we were informed that more than 250 crores was spent on a project of that dimension. Now, for a government, what is 250 crores? But the fact remains that nobody had even attempted it. Neither the British government in pre-independent India, nor the government of India, nor the state government, nobody was able to even contemplate of a project of that dimension which Swami undertook. But the best part is, when the project was executed, the villagers, the panchayat headmen and the elders of all the villages who were benefited from the water project, they came to Prashantalayam. Swami was in the darshan, going round the devotees, and he came to the place where these people were seated. And Swami inquired, why have you come? And these people got up on their knees and they mentioned to Bhagwan, Swami, we are so grateful to you for having given us this great fortune of water. And Swami's spontaneous response was, Bangaru, you're doing a great blunder. I was thirsty. I designed a water project to quench my thirst. I got the water. I quenched my thirst with that water. Should I thank myself for what I did for myself? I see myself in each one of you. You should not be thanking me. In fact, it's the other way around. I should thank you that you gave me such a wonderful opportunity to serve all of you. And I pray that you may give me many more such opportunities in the future so that the avatar can sanctify his life. This was the message that Swami gave. Look at the pure selflessness of Bhagwan's love and absolutely no desire, you know, to take credit for anything which he did for anybody. See, this was something which we observed in Bhagwan when he said, Divya Atma Swarubrara, embodiments of the divine Atma. It was not just a statement which he used to make at the commencement of his discourse. He literally identified himself with all of us who were seated in front of him. I remember when the bathrooms were renovated in the Vrindavan hostel in Prashantinilayam, the warden expressed to Swami the gratitude, Swami, we are so grateful that this renovation work has been undertaken. And again the same thing Swami underlined. He said, I have done it for myself. I have done it for myself. So don't express your gratitude to me. So this kind of selflessness is what is the hallmark of pure love, divine love, unconditional love. Now, the question for all of us therefore arises is, this is the love that Swami embodied. And how do we imbibe it? How do we practice it in our own day-to-day life? And in the process of practice, obviously, there are challenges which will come. There are doubts which come. And one has to think how best one can bring into his day-to-day life some of these profound teachings of Bhagwan. For example, Swami says, love all. Is it possible to love everybody? And if we have to love everybody, how do we practice it? And how should we not practice it? See, that's also equally important. So, Swami again, in this context, gives us a beautiful maxim. He says, love lives by giving and forgiving. How do I practice love? Love lives by giving and forgiving. And again, you see in Swami's life, all the time his hands were outstretched to give, and to give. He never tired giving, and we never tired receiving. And we see that trait of Bhagwan to give selflessly, to give not only in terms of material things, but to give himself to everybody. See, that is something which we observed in Bhagwan. And when he would give also, there was so much of grace in that giving. The Taittiriya Upanishad says, Shraddhaya Deyam, Ashraddhaya Adeyam, Shriya Deyam, Hriya Deyam, Bhiya Deyam, Samvida Deyam. When you're giving, how should you give? Give willingly and happily. Do not give unwillingly and unhappily. Give according to whatever is your fortune. Give with modesty. Give with humility. Give with fear. Why fear? Because, see, I want to give him, but maybe he may not accept. So that fear is there. Is it okay for me to give it to you? Will you, you know, bless me with this opportunity to receive it from me? Give it in a way that both the receiver and the giver find it to be mutually acceptable and in a friendly manner. I remember once it happened in Vrindavan. It was a time when Swami was staying for several months in Vrindavan. And a message reached Prashantilayam Puttaparthi that maybe for next several months Swami is not returning to Puttaparthi. So the villagers were very concerned, and in 400 vehicles, 4,000 of them landed up in Vrindavan for darshan. And of course, Swami was delighted, and after the darshan, he asked them, stay back and I will come and give you special blessing. So all the devotees finished darshan and they were asked to leave the Sai Ramesh Hall and the area on the road next to the Sai Ramesh Hall and next to the Kalyan Mandap, which is there in the ashram. And all these 4,000 people were asked to be seated there. And after some time, Swami came and walked each one of the lanes where the villagers were seated. And I was an eyewitness to a very special conversation which happened right outside my window. I was inside the building. My room overlooked the road, and Swami was just under my window. So I was able to see what's happening outside, but it was daytime, so from outside it was not visible inside. So there were these three Kashmiri shopkeepers sitting there, and Swami came up to them, and he very casually and lovingly asked them in Hindi, "Mai vibhuti deta, tum khata?" And these Kashmiris were so taken aback that Swami stopped. Swami was talking to them for a few seconds. They were totally dazed and didn't know how to react. So again Swami repeated, "Mai vibhuti deta, tum khata?" Look at it. The Lord of the universe created the whole universe, created you and me, created the sun and the moon. He has the power to create anything that he wants. He wants to create vibhuti and put it in the hands of these people. But look at his modesty and look at his humility. He is asking them, "Is it okay? Can I give you vibhuti? Will you eat it? Will you give me permission to give you the vibhuti?" And the moment those people realized what Swami was saying, oh, you should have seen their faces. They were in bliss and ecstasy and beaming from ear to ear. And they said, "Yes, Swami." And then Swami, you know, created vibhuti and put it in their hands. So, shaddhaya deyam, you know, give willingly, give happily, give with modesty, give with humility. That is the giver that we have seen in Bhagwan. You take, for example, the pandemic times that we are all experiencing. All over the globe, all over India, in various towns and cities and villages, you know, the way our devotees in the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization have been distributing food and Amrit Kalasha, you know, food ingredients, dry food ingredients to people, needy people. See, this is an inspiration which they have taken from Bhagwan. Swami is Annapurneshwari. She is delighted, you know, feeding her children. And it doesn't matter who they are and in what status they are. So that is something which was so very, very visible in Swami's personality. Giving, giving and giving. And then he says, love lives by forgiving. See, there will be some people who may be hostile to you, some people who may criticize you, some people who may for various reasons have cultivated some hatred for you, but forgive them. Because if the goal of human existence is to transcend all the dualities of our worldly existence, then we should not carry any such feeling of negative feeling of anger or hatred or animosity with anybody in the world, in society. So Swami practiced it himself. He, even if somebody has spoken ill about him, he said, "I love you anyway. My love is not linked to whether you praise me or you criticize me." In fact, you know, we find this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is underlined how it happened during the Rajasuya Yaga, where Shishupala, who was a relation of Sri Krishna, he starts abusing him when Dharmaraja, the king, is offering him the first position of reverence and salutation. And finally, because there was a word which Krishna had given to Shishupala's mother, because he was at the time of birth, an announcement was made that the person in whose lap he loses his extra limbs, he was born with extra limbs, so when he loses his extra limbs and his extra eye, that person will be the cause of his death. So Shishupala's mother was so afraid, and the unexpected happened when Shishupala's mother put it in the put the child in the lap of Sri Krishna. And so she pleaded with Krishna, she promised me that you will not kill my son. And Sri Krishna, of course, looking into the future, he said, I give you this promise that I will forgive 100 sins, 100 mistakes that your son commits. And she was at least happy. She thought, my son will not commit so many mistakes. So he kept on making mistake after mistake, abuse after abuse. Krishna waited. Finally, the hour came, and there was this tambula plate, with this betel leaf. He took that plate and he threw it in the direction of Shishupala, and the plate goes and hits the neck of Shishupala, and that chops off the head. But to the utter amazement of everybody, they find that from the body of Shishupala, a light emerges and goes and merges in the feet of Sri Krishna. And everybody is dazed. How come this fellow who hated Sri Krishna, who abused him so much, he got this kind of a redemption? But this is what Sri Krishna also explained, and Swami has underlined. See, all the time, because of his hatred of Sri Krishna, he was thinking of Sri Krishna, and that was the cause why he was blessed with that grace. So, even if a person is having hatred for the Lord has only love for him. See, this is... And he would always, say, he used to pun on the word communist. People say, Swami, communists, they don't believe in God. And Swami would pun and say, communist, come you next, he would say. Come you next, you are next in the line to receive my grace. And today, for example, we see Prashant Lim, so many devotees from Russia, which was hitherto a communist country, they're so delighted to come to Prashanti and to spend time in Prashanti and to do sadhana and to, in their own way, find a connect with Bhagwan. So, Swami was asked, one of our doctors in the super speciality hospital, he said, Swami, how many mistakes do you forgive? What Swami said was very, very special. He said, as many as you commit. Look at the Lord of the universe. He said, as many as you commit. But he put a condition. Provided there is sincere repentance for what you have done. If you sincerely repent that, Swami, O Lord, I have made this mistake. I did not know. I was ignorant. The Lord is willing to, overlook everything that you have done, and he's willing to forgive. So forgiveness is a divine quality. And Swami would remind us that we must also practice, if you want to practice love, you need to practice this element of forgiveness in our day-to-day interactions with each other. Now, coming to the second part, Swami says, love all, serve all. And this is the twin. It's like the two sides of the same coin. Love is not love if it does not manifest in the form of service. And again that we see in Swami. Once Swami was interacting with a student, the student had not slept well the previous night. He had a tough time to fall asleep, and it was in the wee hours of the night that he finally fell asleep. Next day he was sitting at Swami's lotus feet. Even before he could say something, Swami said, yesterday I didn't get good sleep, Swami said. So the boy was curious. He asked Swami, Why, Swami? Why you didn't sleep well yesterday? And this is what Swami said. He said, when you could not sleep properly, how do you think I could get sleep? And the boy was totally taken aback by that. He said, why the Lord of the universe, first of all, he never goes to sleep. He is always awake to the reality that he is. Why did he not get sleep just because I did not get sleep? And then Swami said, Bangaru, I see myself in you. When you are in sorrow, I feel that sorrow as mine. When you feel joyous, I feel that joy as mine. So, that is the sense of oneness that Swami demonstrated, not only with one individual, but with the whole universe. And he was always leading a life which was to serve humanity. One student, Swami asked him, what will you do after your education is over? And he said, Swami, I want to serve you. Serve me? But I don't need servants. I am the servant of everybody. You are all masters. And then the boy started pleading, no, Swami, you are the master. We are your servants. And then Swami said, look here. Whatever you want, all the time I am, you know, engaged in fulfilling whatever you want. Whatever gives you joy, I am all the time engaged in providing for that. But whatever I want, are you willing to do? Are you doing? Then who is whose servant? So the boy was totally taken aback, you know, with this kind of logic which Swami put. But again, we see that very, very, very characteristic in Swami's personality, the desire to serve. And he would tell all his followers, tell his devotees, tell his students, there was no age to take up seva. I remember once it was Rathotsavam day, 18th of November, and Swami would go to the Gopuram gate and see off the procession. And the same day, we would have Narayan Seva in the Hillview Stadium. So the moment Swami returned from the Rathotsavam procession and went into the interview room, all the teachers and all the senior students, they just rushed to take up their allotted positions of duty in the Hillview Stadium. The only people who were left out in the mandir were the 8th class students. And after some time, Swami opened the door. He was about to go to the stadium and he found these 8th class students sitting there. And he said, what are you doing here? Do you not know that today is Narayan Seva Day? And these boys pleaded with Swami, Swami, all the senior brothers have taken off the seva opportunities. There was no work for us and we did not get any seva duty. Then Swami very, very spontaneously said, if nothing else, at least go and serve the Narayana's water and earn punyam, he said. And these students, you know, because when nobody had given them any work, Swami had allotted this duty, they came and proudly announced to us, immediately we had to reallocate the duties and the serving of water, drinking water to all the Narayanas assembled there was assigned to this. So for Swami, age was no bar. You could be the youngest, you could be the senior most eldest person in the ashram. I know, for example, this is a conversation I had with Mr. Gopal Rao, late Mr. Gopal Rao, who was the former chairman of Andhra Bank. And one day, Swami asked him, Gopal Rao, go to the canteen and serve drinking water to all the devotees there. And he took up that assignment. And Swami in a public discourse also acknowledged, see, look at Mr. Gopal Rao at that age, ripe old age also, you know, he is doing so much of seva and serves water. Once Swami asked Gopal Rao, When you serve water to the people in the canteen, do they come to you to take the water, or do you go to them and serve the water? And Gopal Rao said, Swami, I go to every table and I serve the water there. And that was such a delight for Swami. But what is more important is what Mr. Gopal Rao shared with me. He said, in my days in the bank, in my career as a banker, I had a terrible anger. And once I came to Swami's fold, I realized it was not good for me. And many times I told Swami also about my anger, but he did not give me any guidance, except that he asked me to do this seva. So years later of this seva, it so happened that some of his friends from the bank came to Prashant Lane. They also were devotees of Bhagwan. They heard that their former chairman is in Patti. So they went to meet Mr. Gopal Rao. And at the end of the conversation, one of them tells Mr. Gopal Rao, Sir, if you don't mind, can I ask you this question? He said, Yes, tell me. Sir, when you were there with us in the bank, you used to have such a terrible anger. But that anger is not visible anymore today. And then it dawned on Mr. Gopal Rao what he was trying for a long period of time to just, you know, leave on his own. He could not do it, but this is what he confessed: by serving water to the people in the canteen, my anger slipped away. I did not even know when that anger just vanished. So Swami would say, serve that you be saved. Serve that you be saved. And one of the best examples of this is Mr. T.G. Krishnamurthy, who was the former state president of Tamil Nadu's Sri Satsai Seva organization. And this happened in the year 1990. He was traveling in a car with his wife and a friend from Bangalore to Prashanthinilam. And somewhere near Chikbalapur, it was morning time, somewhere near Chikbalapur, the car met with an accident. It somersaulted four times in the air and then finally landed on the road, in the middle of the road, with the wheels facing the sky. And after a few minutes, when they came to consciousness, he inquired with his wife. His wife had minor bruises. His friend also was okay, but he had a collarbone fracture. And immediately they rang up to their relatives in Bangalore. They came and took them to hospital. He got treated. He sent a telegram to Swami for saving his life. After a month, he comes to Prashanthinilam. And the first person he meets is Captain Oberoi, who was the manager of our Sri Satyasai Airport here. And Mr. Oberoi asks him, Krishnamurthy, how is your collarbone fracture? He said, how did you know? I have not told anybody about my problem. He said, Swami. And then they exchanged notes, and this is what Mr. Oberoi shared with Mr. Krishnamurthy. When that accident took place, Mr. Oberoi was sitting in the mandir. Swami opened the interview room door and came out and saw Mr. Oberoi. 1 minute, this is 1 minute after the accident has taken place, when they exchanged the time details. Swami looked at Oberoi and said, your friend, Donnapotta Krishnamurthy, was driving a car very fast. He has met with an accident. And Mr. Oberoi's face became very small. He thought that Mr. Krishnamurthy had passed away. And then Swami said, no, he is safe. And I had to stop the traffic on the road from both sides to ensure that, you know, they don't come and harm the passengers in the vehicle. So after some time, Swami went to Bangalore, and he was, Mr. Krishnamurthy also is with Bhagwan. Some devotees gathering was there. Swami asked Krishnamurthy to speak, and for a few minutes he was dazed what to speak, and Swami said, tell about your accident. So Mr. Krishnamurthy explained the whole details of the accident, and then he came to this concluding part. He said, and Swami saved my life. Immediately Swami interjected and said, I did not save your life. Well, no, Swami, you only have saved my life. He said, no, I have not seen. And so that tussle went on between the two. Finally, Swami said, see, when you used to do seva in the Satya Sai Seva organization, people who were recipients of your seva, what would they say? They would express their gratitude to you. And what would you respond? You would say, don't thank me. Thank Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, because of whom all this is happening and all this was possible for you. So their gratitude and their prayers kept on coming to me, and I'm like a spiritual banker, and I kept on collecting all this in your bank account, which is there with me. 1 minute before the accident was going to take place, I knew that the accident is coming. I checked up your bank account balance and I found that there is enough punyam there in the balance to protect you. And without my permission, mark Bhagwan's words, without my permission, the karma phala that was there in the bank account, in your bank account, for which I am the custodian, it flew out of the bank account, went to your proximity, and it saved you. So I did not save you, your karma phala has saved you. So that is what happens, you know, when we take to service. And Swami is the great inspirer for service. I remember 1989, we were in Kodaikanal with Bhagwan. It was a very long stay, more than 1 month of stay with Bhagwan, both at Ooty and Kodaikanal. And it was very special because the bhajan hall at that point of time in Kodai Sai Shruti was very small. So Swami asked all his devotees and all the students and teachers who had accompanied him to assist in the breaking of the hill so that the bhajan hall later could be extended and made more spacious for the devotees there. So morning to evening, there was no darshan as such. Swami would be moving around the lawns and where we were working, and that was our darshan. One day it so happened, we came to know, just outside Sai Shruti is a lake, and on the lake road, you know, wherever Bhagwan goes, there are these people, hawkers, they will sell some trinkets, some rings or some whatever, small worship articles. So they had set up their small shop on the pavement on the lake road. So the police inspector of the area happened to come there, and he saw all these people, and they had occupied the public pavement. So immediately he gave orders, and all the belongings of these hawkers was confiscated. This message was communicated to Bhagwan. The next day, it so happened, this police officer came for Bhagwan's darshan, and from a distance we could observe Bhagwan talking to the police officer. The next thing that we came to know was, after he returned from darshan, the police officer returned all the belongings of these hawkers. You know, after all, how much do they earn on a daily basis? They live on selling all these small objects wherever Bhagwan's organization or Bhagwan's presence is. And because Swami was there for some time in Kodai, they had set up all these small shops because devotees will come there. So we heard that this police officer, obviously I think on the prompting of Bhagwan, returned all the belongings, and the hawkers were so delighted. You know what, one day afternoon Swami was telling us, these small hawkers who used to sell these things on the road outside, they came and prayed to me, Swami, you have blessed your devotees and your students to do this seva morning to evening, to work on the demolition of the hillside for the construction of the extension of the bhajan hall. When the devotees are around, we are not in a position to do this kind of service. But after the devotees leave, during that lunch period till the next time of darshan, that is a time when we are free, and that is also a time when all the tools and implements will be free. Will you permit us, Swami? That is the time which we want to do seva, so that we also get the fortune of participating in this service. And I was really dazed. Look at how Bhagwan created a situation on their own. Maybe these people may not even have got the thought, but the Lord wants to bless them. He wants them to also get the fortune of having served Him. And, you know, He created the situation of their losing their belongings, then getting it back, and then recognizing that it is because of Swami that they got all this back. And for that reason, you know, they were prompted to take up this service, which Swami, you know, so proudly was telling us in Sai Shruti. So, He is the inspiration for seva across the globe. I mean, in myriad ways, and this seva is just a medium to transfer and, you know, transmit that love which every individual feels when he is undertaking this seva. I remember from New York, Mr. Hal Honick, once he shared it with the students in Swami's presence in Trai Vrindavan. Hal Honick was inspired by Bhagwan's message of seva, and he did not want to distribute money because Swami also has said that, you know, money can be misused. So whatever people need, you give that to them. So Hal Honick made it a daily practice. Every time he would leave home, he would make sandwiches, and whoever he would find on the way, hungry, beggars, etc., he would distribute these sandwiches. So there was this lady near his apartment, a beggar, who would be the recipient of his sandwiches every day. One day it so happened, morning he left home, this lady was not in her regular position, so he missed giving the sandwiches to her. And later in the evening, he was returning home. From a distance, he espied the lady, that she was in that regular place, and he remembered that he had not given sandwiches to her. So he wanted to avoid her, so he started moving in the other side of the road towards his apartment. From the corner of his eye, he observed that the lady saw him, got up, and started running towards him. And seeing her running towards him, he panicked. He started running faster, but the lady caught up with him and finally accosted Hal Honick. He said, "Why are you running away from me?" And Hal Honick was so embarrassed because he was caught now in this situation. He said, "I am so sorry. The sandwiches are over," he said. "I have nothing to give you today." And that, you know what that lady said? She said, and they are words which are very, very beautiful and touch my heart. And I always feel that love whenever I recollect those words. She said, "Sandwiches are not important. Good people are important." See, it's not that object or the food which you're serving. It is the love with which you serve that food. You know, that is what, you know, people value. And that is what is what devotees of the Lord Bhagwan Sri Satsai Baba have imbibed for him. And I would like to maybe share this particular facet, because the you know, in the Dhyan Shloka of the Bhagavad Gita, there is this beautiful lines: "Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande paramanandam madhavam." I salute that Lord with whose grace the people who are dumb are able to walk and the people who are lame are able to climb mountains. But when I see Bhagwan and when I see the devotees of Bhagwan, I am in a reverse mode, and you know, the feeling that I get is, if the Dhyan Shloka says, "Mukam karoti vachalam," Bhagwan is one person who makes vachalam karoti mukam. If you have the ability to speak, He makes you dumb. You are speechless, being a witness to His love. You know, in these pandemic times, let me share something which is from Prashanti. A few people in the ashram got affected, and the ashram authorities, out of their immense concern for them as well as for the others residing in the ashram, they identified a particular building and accommodated all these people. And in the university, in my section of the staff office, one of the eldest member was also affected, and he also was housed there. And imagine the love of Bhagwan's devotees, the Sevadal, four times a day without caring for any risk for themselves. They would go and serve these people their food. So after a few weeks, when the clearance came that this staff of ours could return, he wanted to express his gratitude to the Sevadal, because it was almost several weeks that he had received the seva. And all that they would do is, they would take the packed food from the canteen, they would knock on the door, leave the food on the ground and disappear. So he had not even seen the Sevadal, but he wanted to express, because these are people who have, you know, day in and day out served me, so I should express my gratitude. So they were at a distance, and from a distance this conversation takes place. And these young Sevadal, this is what they told our staff member. He said, "Sir, one thing we would like to tell you, when we used to come to do seva, the first room where we would start our service is your room." And this was the instruction which the previous batch of Sevadal gave us. And they said, "This is our experience," and these people acknowledged that they also had the similar experience. What is the experience they had? The experience they had was, when they would come to do this service, they have seen Swami physically walking in the corridor. So this was the experience of the previous batch of Sevadal. And when the Sevadal change of duty took place, they instructed this group that when you go to this particular building where these patients are housed, start your seva from this particular room. And these Sevadal were saying they have either never seen Swami physically, or the only Swami they have seen is Swami when towards the end of his life he was on the wheelchair. But these Sevadal literally saw Swami walking, and I was so moved. He said, "Swami, you know, we have been working round the clock, taking care of the examinations of our students for the university, and one of us, the eldest of us, was affected, and you were doing security duty at his residence and taking care of him and blessing the Sevadal who were taking care." So I was really very, very, see, this is the love. Love transcends time and space. That is Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. If you think he was just that form when he was walking and moving around with us, then what have we understood of Bhagwan? Bhagwan is love, and love transcends all dimensions of time and space, and that is what we are seeing today. And if this is what we see in Bhagwan, what shall we say of his devotees? You know, in the month of September, we conducted our university examinations for all our final year students, undergraduation, post-graduation. The University Grants Commission of India had given a directive that because of the pandemic, some of the students' examinations may have been affected. So please ensure that before 30th of September, these examinations are completed. Now all the students are at their home. So how do we reach out to them? How do we conduct their examinations when they are not in a position to come? And we contacted again the Sri Sathya Sai organization, both the Indian organization and the international organization, and said, "Don't worry, we will find out where your students are actually residing." And in 60 centers in India, as one center was in San Diego in the United States of America, the examinations were conducted, and amazing things happened. I mean, I have been an eyewitness, and therefore I take this opportunity to express, that's why I say, Mukam karoti vachalam, but Bhagwan and Bhagwan's devotees make the vachalam karoti mukam. The amazing extent to which our devotees went to serve our students. You know, in some particular places, the students were far away. They said, you come and stay in our school or stay in our center. We will take care of you. We will feed you and we will provide everything to you. In some cases, the students were not in a position to move. And they said, we will come. 20 kilometers, Sevadal have gone and they have conducted the examinations in the home of the student. This was something unprecedented, and in fact one of our students wrote also, he said, sir, they provided accommodation to us and they provided such delicious food four times a day. They provided toiletries, and do you know what, sir, our answer scripts after the exam, they were scanning it and they were sending it to you with so much of pain they have taken for all of us. And I am deeply humbled seeing their dedicated service-mindedness. And I thank Swami. I thank Swami for giving me this opportunity to meet such blessed souls in such an unanticipated way. And then it dawned on me why Swami created all this drama that we had, the challenges we had in conducting the examinations for these students. And I realized that Swami wanted students to experience His divine love through this service that His devotees have rendered, without thinking about themselves to the extent, you know, the university goes, the care that they have taken, not only care that they have taken, the kind of love that they have transmitted to the students. On behalf of the students and the teachers, I would like to take this opportunity and offer at Bhagwan's lotus feet our gratitude for this wonderful seva. So, Swami says, love all, serve all. When you serve, serve with love. If you are serving, do it with the feeling that the person you are serving is not somebody other than yourself. He is yourself. You are serving Bhagwan Himself when you, and the person who is in need. It could be a rich person. It could be a poor person. Whoever is in need at that point of time is deserving of your service, and render that service. And whatever you do for anyone in my name, I will shower my love, I will shower my grace on you. This is the pact between the Lord and His devotees. Forgive me for beginning a story I cannot end. As Khalil Gibran puts it, the end is still not in my lips. It is a love song in the wind. I took this opportunity to share some of my thoughts on this wonderful message of Bhagwan, love all, serve all, which He reiterated, which you, if you come to the Sai Kulwanthal, you come to Sai Sannidhi, in bold letters in it is inscribed. If we take inspiration from this, practice it even a little in our own lives, I am sure we will feel Bhagwan's presence in umpteen measure in our lives. So with these few words, Jai Sai Ram.